I'm going to speak to you tonight on what God's people need. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Then in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse number 14, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There are hundreds of things that we are commanded to do. There are many commandments and exhortations and admonitions and so forth and so on in the scripture to which we must heed, or we definitely need to heed. We need to think of some of the things that we need to do for the Lord and for others. God's people need to trust. Trust God to sustain us. Matthew 28, and verse 20, teaching us to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We need to trust in him, trust that he's with us, trust that he's taking care of us. We need to live by faith, and living by faith is trusting in Jesus, not trusting in self or society or someone or something else, but trusting in Jesus. Look at Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse number 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That being the case, we need not to be down and out. We need not to feel sorry for ourselves. We need not to look anywhere but to him, because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Philippians 4, verse number 19. 4th chapter, book of Philippians, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He will supply all of our needs and according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if that supplying that's behind us, think of the wealth and treasure that he has. Everything belongs to him. Everything. And it can be put on our behalf. Because, listen, he sacrificed all of that wealth and all of that power in order to die on the cross so that we could be saved and have eternal life. We need to trust God to save those that are lost. John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And that's the point there, is that without Jesus Christ, anything we do is not worth anything. It is of no value, all that's done without him. So we need to trust in him, trust that he will sustain us, trust that he can supply our needs, and trust that he will save those that we witness to, we talk to and tell about Jesus. Listen, we are in the seed planting business, and we need to plant the seed, the word of God, in the hearts of men around about, and trust that the Spirit of God is going to continue to convict and work with them, and maybe not immediately, but at least in some time, that the Lord can save their soul. God's people need to be troubled. We need to be troubled about our own condition and the shape that we're in. The saved experience an inward struggle. Look at Romans, the 7th chapter, and beginning with verse number 14. Romans chapter 7, And verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Now this is Paul talking about himself, the Spirit through Paul. But you and I could be taking this and presenting it as well. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The Apostle Paul, born again child of God, saved gloriously, a great servant of the Lord, and yet he's a sinner. Aren't we all? The only difference between us is there's saved sinners and lost sinners. Saved sinners are going to heaven and be with the Lord. Lost sinners are going to wind up in hell without hope and without help. All right, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but now to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the condition the flesh is in. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We all have that struggle. We're all in that condition. We all have that new nature that fights against that old nature and that warfare within us, and we're caught right in the middle of it. But the main thing we need to remember is this, that by the grace of God, we can overcome that old sinful man that we are, and we can dominate and keep him under control. We need to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and 28. But let a man examine himself. Of course, this is concerning the Lord's Supper, but we need to examine ourselves before we come in the door to the services. After all, the tabernacle, they had that laver there, and when the priests went in, they'd wash and clean themselves before they entered into the sanctuary. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Then in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we will judge ourselves, we'll not be. What standard do we judge by? How we feel? What we think? What society says? Most people are governed by what society says. Something is not evil unless society says it's evil. Now, wait a minute. Society's not in charge. God is. And if God says it's evil, brother. You mark it down. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not judge. What do we judge by? The Word of God, the Holy Bible, the Scripture, the all Scripture that's given by the inspiration of God. So, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Well, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. We need to be troubled about lost souls. The idolatry and ignorance of the people at Athens stirred Paul's spirit. He was stirred deeply, inwardly. And the concern that he had was genuine. He was not thinking of himself. He was not thinking of his. He was not concerned with self or his. He was concerned for those that were caught up and steeped in idolatry, those who were worshiping false gods. And listen, we have a society today that, whether you like it or not, they're worshiping false gods. Now, I could name some false gods that they worship and what they're given over to, but I don't need to because you know and you're aware of it. Like Acts 17, verse 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Jesus was troubled over Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse number 37, Matthew 23, 37, he looked, he saw the wickedness, and it moved him deeply, as Paul was moved as well. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, now how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." They would not. We need to be troubled about wayward church members. God's people need to travail. Travail in growth and dedication. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 7 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." So, we need to witness to the lost. And we need to witness earnestly to the lost. We need to be deeply concerned about the lost. We need to pray for the lost. Because we've got a whole world out here. And there's far more that are lost than that are saved in this nation of ours today. Now, it may not have been that way many years ago, but it's that way now. And brother, men's thoughts continually is nothing but evil. We're the wicked people. And I know, don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. But the truth is the truth. You can't push it away. Because one day, we're all going to answer. One day, we're all going to reap what we sow. One day, we're going to receive the reward that we deserve. Whether it be good or whether it not. Look at Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse number 1. "Say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." We need to be deeply concerned. We need to be deeply moved. And we need to be about lost souls, and we need to be reaching out to them. We need to be earnestly praying for them continuously. I notice, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else is. But I notice things are different in these days that we're living in. Now, I know I have a little pushback on this stuff, but that's all right. Prayers. Every prayer that used to be prayed in the church services, in meetings, youth rallies, and so forth, everyone, every time they prayed for the loss that was in their midst. Don't hear that much. Why? Why? Because we're not deeply moved by the fact that those that are lost and in sin are going to wind up in hell one of these days. I wonder how much we believe it. Could be a lack of belief. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So we need to be concerned about reaching those that have backslidden, those that have strayed away from God's word and his truths. We need to be concerned, and we need to be burdened about them as well. God's people need to tarry for God's blessings. At times we need to stand still. Look at Psalms 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I think that's interesting. Be still and know that I'm God. We need to frequently get off to ourselves and out of this turmoil that we live in day by day, hour by hour, and then we need to reach out to God from the depths of our heart. We need to just stand still for a minute. Saul was instructed to wait for Samuel to offer the sacrifice. 1 Samuel 13, beginning with verse number 8. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. We make excuses, don't we? We make excuses. And then sometimes we tell a little white one to cover it up, or a big black one. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. Now, I wish God's people, more of them, would get it down. When God tells us to do something and the way to do it, he means what he says, and he wants us to do it exactly that way. Now, Saul was looking for another way. He was looking to make up things and control things that he had no power to do. When the Bible presents scriptural baptism as immersion in water, sprinkling and pouring, will not do a bit of good. That's man's doing what Saul was doing. Yeah. Find a better and an easier way. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought to him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Amen. And a church that gets caught up in this kind of thing pretty soon won't be the Lord's. Sadly, unfortunately. Tarry for God's power. The Jerusalem church was to wait for the enduring power. Luke 24:49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." By the way, this event happened only one time. The church was empowered, baptized in, anointed by the Holy Spirit one time only. It was not on individuals. It was on the church as a whole when they were assembled together. They were immersed in a room, totally, totally immersed. One time. They didn't do it the second time. Nor did he do it when the church prominently became Gentiles. We need to go in the spirit and the power of our God. Human strength and labor is in vain. Amen. 127th Psalm, verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." If the Lord's not in it, it's not worth anything. There's no value. We need to tarry for fellowship. While Martha was so busy taking care of Jesus and washing his feet, and she was commended for it, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and was commended for that. We need to take our time to commune and fellowship with our Savior. Take time to commune and fellowship with our Savior. You can't do that when there's an uproar. You can't do that when you're praying if there's an uproar. You can't do that if the things of the world are buzzing around you. God's people need to take some time and just commune with the Lord. We would probably accomplish worshiping more than what we do if we would do that. God's people need to triumph. They need to triumph as an individual. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the victory. We've won the victory over death, hell, and the grave because of Jesus and what he has done. We need to triumph as a church. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen." We need to triumph as individuals. We need to triumph as a church. We need to triumph as a family. Ephesians 5:22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. Verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Taking that and going to verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You want your wife under subjection? You fulfill this. Love your wife. Show that love and that affection. Sadly, our society has so perverted God's order as far as husband and wife and family is concerned that I wonder sometimes if I even know really what it really is or how to function. We need to walk a closer walk with Jesus. And we'll do some of these things that we consider here tonight, and there's many more. And we can walk a closer walk with him. We'll see the blessings of the Lord in our life. You know what? A lot of times he's blessing us and we don't even see it. You know what? When you go through misery, you'll benefit from it if you'll just hang on to him. If you'll just put him first and just commune with him and lean on him. Let him be your strength. Because you see, God is at work in every one of our lives. And a lot of times we don't have that blessing from him working in our lives because we're not willing to recognize it. We're too busy doing it ourselves, taking care of it, straightening it out when we need to commune with him in prayer, and we need to trust in him to take care of these things. Trouble coming our way. Well, don't mourn. Know that he's made promises and he's going to keep those promises. And let's get out of his way. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Jesus made it clear. He came preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. It takes repentance toward the Lord and faith in Jesus Christ for one soul to be saved. You're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. The way to get acquainted with him is humble yourself before him. Reach it with your heart to him. And if you'll ask him earnestly, desiring, he'll save your soul. He's never turned anyone away who came in that manner. You got to come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible's clear. The psalmist brought it out, or the spirit through the psalmist brought it out and made it clear that that's what God's looking for, to forgive man's sins, to save his soul. You know what? That's what God's looking for from his people too. Yeah. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, invitation is open. Come. Come to Jesus, whatever the need is. If we'll believe and trust, he'll take care of it. What should we sing, brother? Amen. As we look to the Lord in prayer, it'll be opening prayer for our business meeting.